We want to look at a lesson tonight about Jonah and find out some things that can help us. A wonderful story of Jonah, one of the great Old Testament books that fits in so well with our time even. Jonah was one who had a city. Now, don't think I've got the city upside down by mistake. I've got it upside down for a reason. Paul talked about, or not Paul, but other people talked about Christians and them coming into their city, and they said, those people that have turned the world upside down in other places, what the people had done that were Christians was turned the world right side up. So we live in an upside down world. And it needs to be, we need to help people to see that they need to be turned right side up. They need to be turned up for God and serving God. But how do you do that? How do you really change a whole city? Can you really change a whole city? Can you go in and preach and teach the gospel and cause a whole city to change? I firmly believe that you can. It may not be easy. It may be something we have to put ourselves out doing, but that's okay. We just need to be willing to do that. Now, turn. If you're at Jonah, look at chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. It talks about the people of Nineveh. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Jonah, after his encouragement with a great fish, decided to go in and preach to those people. And he went in and he preached to those people. And lo and behold, they decided to change. They decided to be different from the king on down. In fact, his decree to the people was that every one of them had to change. And he's saying, let's just all repent. So here, God, they believed, Nineveh believed what God said. They proclaimed a fast, the king did, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. The word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. This is the way that they show their mourning. I suppose ours would be like that of maybe a woman wearing black. That used to be it. If you were the widow, you wore black all the time for I don't know how long, several months, sometimes even years. And you did those things to show that mourning that you had in you. And so this is what they're doing, and this is what they did. And it sounds strange to us. I don't know, sitting in ashes and all this may just say, you know, we're below ashes. We're just humble and before God, and so we don't know what to do. And so this is what he did, and sat in ashes. Verse 7, and he caused it to be proclaimed, the king caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout all of Nineveh by the decree of the king and his noble saying. This is what they said, neither men nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Now, in fasting, sometimes you could drink. But in this, he's saying nothing. It's just a total no water, no food for a period of time. And this was for a short period of time. But let men and beasts be covered with sackcloth and cry mighty to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil ways and from the violence that is in his hand. Who can tell if God will turn and relent? Look at that. Who can tell if God will turn and relent? These people weren't Jewish people. These people were a band who most of the Jews just hated anyhow. And so here they are hearing God's word. And so they are changing their way. They're changing the way that they live that night. Who can tell if God will turn and relent? I hope all of us can tell that God will repent or repent of wickedness toward us as we repent, as we change. Who can tell this? Who can turn this? Turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. God can do that. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God, wonder what God did. God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. He didn't bring that disaster on them. Now, I want you to read this story. It's really a very interesting story. We don't have time to go through all of it. But here these people were people who were not God's people, but they became God's people because they recognized who God was. and they were willing to recognize the power that he had. Maybe they had done that before, and they recognized how strong and powerful God was, but they had got away from all that and got into sin, and here they were, a city that was involved in sin, and God sent Jonah over there. Now, Jonah was one that did not want to go preach to those people. Jonah was ready for God just to go ahead and destroy them. In fact, that's what he would have probably done if he had been God. He would have just wiped that whole city off the map and got rid of every one of them. It might be like us today where somebody says, I want you to go over and preach to the people in Iran or Iraq. And we're going, God, do you know who those people are? Do you know what they'll do to people that are Christians? Have you forgot God? God knows, and God sent him there. He didn't want to go, but his act with the great fish kind of helped him decide that he was going to go. And so he went over there, and he preached to this city. And I'll give you the conclusion. And it's here, God forgave them. And the rest of that book is dealt with Jonah and Jonah understanding. I have a hard time understanding, was the lesson for the people of Nineveh or was it for Jonah? I don't know. There's a little bit of in both of that. And so Jonah here, we can read sometimes, and we will, about what Jonah did and how Jonah felt about this. So here we have the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah is a book that deals with some very important things. It's a book that talks about the story about more than just a great fish, but about a city that changes, that repents, a city that turns from their wickedness, that turns from all of that, from the greatest to the least, and how that they change there. The characters are very simple. You've got Jonah, you've got the people of Nineveh, and you've got God. You've got Jonah that doesn't want to preach to these people. You've got the city of Nineveh that they don't know if they want to hear this or not, but they do. And they change. And you've got God who is willing to forgive. Always remember, God's always willing to forgive us of our sins. He's always willing to change and to change his idea of punishment against us to that of love for us. That's what he wants to do. That's just what his cry is. We can see how a city can change in this. And we can see how we can change a city. But we can also see how it was done for Jonah and for those people that were there. All right, how can we really change a city? And we don't think about cities. We think about individuals. We don't think about changing a whole country many times, and we need to do that. Sometimes we think very small when God says, we need you to think very big. And so here, it was a whole city there. And this whole city had to hear the gospel and needed to hear the gospel. One of the first things that we're going to have to deal with if we're going to try to win a city is to understand we're going to run against hard times. Now, Jonah 1, verses 1 through 3. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. This city was wicked. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarsus. God said, I need you to go this way. Jonah said, I'm going this way. I don't know if he really realized how powerful God was. And he realized that there's no place you can say that you can go or stay that God's not there. The psalmist said you go to the highest mountain, he's there. You go to the depths of the sea, he's there. You go wherever you go, God's there. Jonah didn't seem to understand that. Sometimes we may act like we don't understand it. God is everywhere, and he sees everything. And we've got to recognize how powerful that is. And so here, he was one who was willing. He got on a ship to go the other way. We know what happened. He encountered the great fish, and the great fish, whatever it was, swallowed him and just spit him out on the coast of Nineveh. There's a lot of ways to travel. I wouldn't suggest that is a good way. That's not a good way to travel, but he did. And he understood then what he had to do. And he did that. Sometimes we can do God's will when we don't really want to do it. Sometimes we can do it because we feel like we're forced to do it, and so we go ahead and do it, but we don't have our heart into it. And I don't think Jonah had his heart into preaching to these people, but he did preach to these people there. And so here he goes, and he presents the word of the Lord to these people, and lo and behold, these people change. But I know he's going to face some opposition. And he probably did there. It may not be recorded. I guess if we want to see opposition, we can go to Paul and some of the apostles and their preaching and their teaching. Paul and his talking about all the things that he suffered and the beatings, the stonings, and the people running him out of towns, being let down in a basket because they were afraid that his life was going to be taken from him. Because of his preaching and teaching, it's there. If you preach the gospel, if you teach the gospel, and let's go even farther than that, if you live the gospel, there are going to be people that are going to oppose you. Understand that. But now, that shouldn't keep us from doing it. That shouldn't keep us from doing it at all. If it's God's will, we need to be doing that. It wasn't easy for Jonah to go to this city. As I've already mentioned, he didn't really like these people anyhow. And probably he didn't care whether they were saved or whether they were lost. In fact, he probably wished that they were lost. But God sent him there, and he finally went. Remember, God gives you opportunities. Not just one, but sometimes several. What we've got to do is to have the spiritual eye to be able to see those things that God wants us to do and then do them. Have you thought like I've sometimes wanted God and said, God, if you just tell me what you want, if you just say, do this, I'd do it. Well, he has, but sometimes I'm just too ignorant to see it. And sometimes I don't want to do it. What we got to do is to recognize what God's will is. And I think it can be something that is fairly simple to us if we're willing to do that. And so here he's got to go over there and he's got to do that. He's got to cry out against their wickedness. If you cry out against wickedness, the wicked people are going to oppose that. Now that's just a given. So understand that. So understand that in the beginning. And when people oppose you in trying to preach and teach the gospel, then you just continue on with what you've got to do. Then secondly, what we've got to do to win a city, what he had to do to win this city, is to be confident when God is there giving us a big job. Sometimes we look at the things that God wants us to do and we say, wait a minute, that's way too big for me. If God gives it to you, he'll give you what you need to handle it. He'll give you what you need to handle it. And what we've got to do is to realize that and realize how wonderful it is. In Matthew 12, verses 38 through 41, listen to what is said here. Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered and are saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Okay, show us something and we'll believe. Help us to believe, so you show us this great sign. Heal something, take some water bowls and turn them into, fill them up with wine. Do something great, you know, call one of the prophets down. Do something wonderful so that we can see that. But Jesus knew that even if he did those things, those people probably would not believe him. So here's what he said. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. People are looking, but they're looking in the wrong place for God. And no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. What was the sign of the prophet Jonah? Everybody knew the story about the great fish. That was a story that was told all over the place, not just to kids, but to adults, that this really, really happened. And here God delivered this man out. He's saying, you remember that story? Most of you believe that that are listening to me, you scribes and you Pharisees, you believe the story. But listen to this. That's going to be the sign you're going to have to go with. The sign of a great fish? No. The sign, as he goes on to say here, Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish. So will a son of man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. He's saying, look at these people of Nineveh. They heard the word that Jonah delivered. They heard the message of Jonah. And these people changed. We could say they changed in sackcloth and ashes. They showed their repentance. They showed how humble they were before God. Even to the king, all the way down, they showed that. He said, those people are going to rise up against you in the day of judgment and say, what was wrong with you? You had the Son of God right there before you. Why didn't you listen? Why didn't you hear? People are going to oppose your preaching, your teaching, what you're trying to do to help them to see the right way to go. But what we've got to do is to recognize there's a great job to do, and God has always given His people the things that they need to do it. I guess I go back to the story of Moses. Here's one man who is a fugitive from this country, is told to go back and tell one of the greatest men of the world of that day, Pharaoh, I want all your slaves. And basically, I want your money too, because they got that. I want all that. One man's going to go in and tell people that this is what God wants, and then we're expected to believe that it's going to change those people. You see, you don't look at the one man, you look at the God behind the man. When David was able to take the life of that great giant, when he was able to do that, he gave the glory and the honor to God. He said, this is God, not me. It's not my little rocks, but it's God. And us seeing God and knowing what God is, knowing who God is. Jonah didn't believe God's plan. He didn't trust in God's plan. God gives us something to do. Do we really trust in that? Do we really depend on it? We kind of make fun of Jonah. We kind of say, well, you know, Jonah, he didn't have the faith. He wanted to get out of doing God's will. Are we any different? And that's the reason I think this story is so applicable to us. We're just like Jonah. We doubt God's plan. Don't do that. Believe what God says. Believe the plan that God says, and be that person that's encouraged to do what God's plan is and to follow the plan of God, no matter what it is, no matter how big it is, because we got to be willing to do that. We can see a great sign, and Jesus gave it, that of the resurrection. We don't need any other signs today. There's so many people in the world that they're looking for something great to happen. They're looking for somebody to be healed, and they're looking for God to protect them against rattlesnakes. Did y'all see that? There was a rattlesnake the other day. This had nothing to do with the sermon. I just liked it. The thing was over 9 foot long. Its head was 5 inches wide. Let me tell you something. My mind kind of runs bad sometimes. I thought, I'd like to see somebody grab that thing up in a church service and hold it. 2.5-inch fangs on it. But people do that because they think they've got to have some kind of sign to show how spiritual they are, how great they are. Let me tell you something. The sign has already been given. We don't need any others. We don't need another sign. We've got the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is attested to both historically and scripturally, that He rose from the dead. And so here we have Jesus. What we've got to do is what Jonah did. We've got to go in and preach the word to the people that were there. And that's what Jonah did. Arise, go to Nineveh, God said. This is his second chance to be able to go. God gives you a first chance, and sometimes He gives you a second chance. And for some of us, He gives a third and a fourth chance so that we can see what we need to do. But here's your second chance. He said, okay, you're out of the fish, you're on the land, now go preach to those people. Go teach those people what God wants them to do. Help them to understand that the power of transforming lives is not in you. It's not in the power of the preacher. Sometimes we'll look at a person and they may stammer as a preacher. They may not do as good a job as somebody else might do. But you see, what they're doing is they're giving us the Word of God. That's important. That's the thing. It's not necessarily the person. They always tell preachers, hide behind the cross. Hide behind the Word. Sometimes we don't. We step out in front of it. But forgive us, we're learning, and hopefully we can do better. But preach the Word. Preach the Word and help people to understand that. And that's what Jonah did. He went and he preached to those people there and he showed the power. Romans 1 and verse 16, we all know that passage, I think. Here the writer says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What? Because it is the power. It is the moving force of God. And then in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if there is anyone that speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak as God's word, as God's message, as God's inspired word. And then Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy verses 1 through 4, or chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, to go preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season. That's when people want it, don't want it. That's when it's hard. That's when it may be easy. You just go ahead and you teach the word no matter what. Well, what if you have to suffer? Okay. God didn't say you wouldn't have to do that. In fact, he helped his disciples to see that they were going to have to suffer. And we have to help people to see that too. And we have to know that our own selves, that we're going to have to understand this and we're going to have to recognize this. All right, now, next point. I'm going to get through here in a minute. Don't be afraid if the message is not received in a kind way. Don't be afraid. They did not always receive the message of Jesus in a kind way. They didn't receive the message of Paul in a kind way. I've already mentioned about all the punishment he went through, all the things that he had to suffer to be able to preach and teach the gospel, all that the other disciples had to go through and apostles had to go through, and all the things that they had to go through. Please understand that we preach the message. That's what we're supposed to do. If we suffer because of that, that's just a consequence that we have to do, but we have to do that. And we go on and we do that. In Jonah 3, verses 3 and 4, and Jonah began to and entered into the city on the first day's walk. Now, you talk about a big city. If you're going to walk all day long in that city, how big is it? It's a big city. Then he cried out to these people, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Your city is going to fall. Now, could you imagine walking into a city and standing on the street corner and saying, your city is going to fall? What's the first thing you'd think of? First thing I think of is somebody's nuts. That guy's crazy. Well, that may be what they thought about Jonah. But Jonah was willing to preach that message that was there and help people to understand it, even though he knew that it was going to cause a confrontation between him and some people. He still went ahead and he preached that. Then verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Remember, that's the words of the king. We know what we are, but some people may change. And it may change their whole life. This message was what God wanted him to deliver to these people. This message was a message that was going to help them in every way. He was, like we talked about in Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4, where he was supposed to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all that kind of love suffering. Do it in kindness. Do it in love. But preach the truth and teach the truth to these people. Wisdom needs to be understood. And we need to understand and help people to see that. We need to be those that, according to Colossians, we're to walk in wisdom. We're to use the Word of God in the right way. The Word of God, if it's used in the wrong way, can be one of the meanest books you've ever seen. But if it's used in the right way, it's a letter of love and a letter of help to everybody. It's a letter to help people to know the right way. And so here we have to understand that. Now, last point here. We've got to feel the urgency of the task. People in this world are dying. And I could give you all the statistic about how many are dying every day, how many hour, how many every minute. You know that has to be phenomenal. But what we've got to do is to do what we can. Sometimes we look at the big picture so much that we can't see what we're doing right now and what we need to be doing in our lives. I can't teach everybody in the world. I can't save all those people that are dying. I might not be able to do that, but I can the ones that are near me. And that's the ones I need to work on. That's the ones I need to try to teach. Souls are dying and they need the gospel. They need to hear what the gospel has to say. We need to compel them, according to Luke 14 and verse 23. We need to encourage them in a strong, strong way. We need to really, Paul said that he warned people night and day with tears because he knew what the fate was. And he wanted those people not to be lost. He wanted those people to be saved. And so that's what he was trying to do, was to help them to understand that. Now, the city that was upside down can be made right side up. We have the power to do that. You say, can you do it? We can if we want to. We can if we use the power to do that. We can if we use the gospel to do that. The responsibility of the people of Nineveh was to hear the word and to follow what the word has to say. What if they didn't do that? Well, that would be a terrible thing because that whole city would be lost. But what if those people heard it? They would change. They had one responsibility, repent at the word of God and follow God's word. Jonah had a responsibility, preach that word to people. Well, I don't like them. That has nothing to do with it. You go preach that word. What was God's responsibility? To teach Jonah a lesson, to teach the people of Nineveh a lesson, but also to show those people that you can be forgiven. You can have eternal life. And there's nobody that can keep you from it. You can have forgiveness of your sins. And God will forgive you. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that is the one that we're going to be willing to follow. It is our responsibility to hear the word and to follow it. It's our responsibility also to teach the word to other people and help them to see that. And we do that in a daily life. We do that as we normally do. Now, there's some of us that are able to be able to do that in more of a full-time way. But all of us are responsible for that, to help people see it. Jonah changed a whole city. Do you really think you could do that? Do you really honestly think you can change a whole city? Well, maybe if we don't think we can change a whole city, maybe the reason that we're not doing it. Maybe we need to set our sights a little bit higher. Maybe we need to set our sights so high that we let everybody know what we're trying to do. Maybe we need to set our goals real high and then do those things to accomplish those goals. I think in our world, we make great goals, but we don't know how to do it. And we don't put it into practice. And we got to do that for our own lives, for the lives of people of the world, is help them to see that. Jonah preached, the people were willing to repent. Are we willing to do that? Jonah's words were there. That's all Jonah could do is encourage the people to follow God. That's all I got the power to do too, is to encourage you to look at your life, wherever you are spiritually. If you're not a Christian, look at your life. That's what you need to do, is to become a child of God. If you are a Christian and there's sin there in your life, what you got to do is make that right with God. That's what the people of Nineveh did. Now, please don't think that you've got to put on sackcloth and ashes. I wonder if we did that, how many people would respond to the invitation. If when somebody came up, we put them up here and we put a sackcloth coat on them and we just sprinkled ashes all over their head. You say, I don't know about that. Well, listen, we got it simpler. All you got to do is come forward, let us know that you want to repent of your sins and we'll pray with you and for you. Which one do you want? Make a choice. God has made it so easy for us to follow Him and He's given us the way. It's very simple. It's not complicated. What we got to do is we got to follow it. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.